Let's move right into the safety committee. I think everyone is here that needs to be. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like approval of the agenda first, please. May I have a motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And may I have a move a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Seeing none. All right. Well, good morning. We have one item today on our agenda. That is to cover the actions Metro is taking to ensure the safety of employees and contractors working on Metro's right-of-way. These actions include implementing advance warning for train operators, identifying hotspots or areas of increased risk, and enhancing employee and contractor training. I'll turn the floor over now to Mr. Lavin to begin the presentation and discussion.
Presentation will provide an update on the roadway worker protection program and actions being implemented to enhance roadway worker protection. The comprehensive RWP program is part of the safety defenses designed to keep all roadway workers from harm while on the right of way. Several enhancements have occurred to the RWP program, including process changes, codifying RWP requirements, adapting new technology, and increased safety assurance activities. We're going to cover the process enhancements. So the highlighted items are all the actions we've taken in the last year. The first one is a safety stand down with the GM's message, a safety trump service was delivered in May of 2016. We also introduced new radio protocols to standardize verbiage, so to improve the communication process between the ROC as well as roadway workers. We strengthened the contract RWP training. All contractors at a minimum have to have RWP-1 qualifications. We've instituted a 10-mile-an-hour speed restriction for trains passing wayside workers. We also had them revamp the RWP escort training to ensure that our employees who provide escorts to contractors and inspectors from oversight fully understand their responsibilities. We've updated the access guide for the roadway workers so that they're fully aware of the hotspots in the system. We've already surveyed all the red hotspots. We're now going through it and reevaluating all the yellow hotspots. We've instituted the AMF and foul time procedures in April of 2017. We've also, based upon feedback that we got from the workforce, we also developed an RWP frequently asked questions document that is posted on the SAFE website that has also been distributed to the field. We've also are pursuing technology in forms of vehicle awareness technology, and we're pursuing the FTA grant for the roadway worker protection, which meets the recommendations of the NTSB R0804. First, we're going to talk about the FTA ProTran grant. As stated in previous presentation, this is a bi-directional technology where it alerts the roadway worker when the train is approaching, and it gives forewarning to the trains that the workers are present. With the FTA grant, we've identified 12 locations that we consider to be the most critical hotspots. Those are being prioritized for implementation. We're going to receive 153 units and 200 armbands as part of that pilot. Roadway workers wear the personal alert device on their arm, and that activates the boxes in the area. So once they come into an area with the box detects the arm. It begins to flash. That gives the visual cue to the train operator that the employees are present. Once the train encounters the box, it then transmits that to the armband. The armband then has a visual audible alarm, so the roadway worker knows that there's a train that's present. We did a demonstration of this initial technology in April of 2017 at National Air, and it passed the pilot and was effective. The next technology I'd like to discuss is vehicle awareness technology. And I just want to emphasize this is for Class 2 vehicles. This is not for the revenue fleet. And what this does is gives you three forms of protection. It prevents vehicle-to-vehicle collision. So if you have two prime movers, they're in close proximity to each other, they detect each other's presence, and that would avoid a collision with those vehicles. Those vehicles are not equipped with ATC packages, which means it has no detection of what's in front of it. Right? It's basically a line of sight and communication with the ROC. So that will enhance that protection. The next is vehicle to fixed work zone. So should you have a prime mover or one of these roadway maintenance machines encroaching upon an area where employees are working, there's There's a box at the beginning of the work zone that sends an audible alarm to the train. It tells the train operator or the RMS operator that there's a work zone in front of them. Once that vehicle encroaches close enough to the work zone that the box detects it, that sends a transmission to the roadway workers. Their armbands go off, and the armbands are compatible with the ProTran technology. We did limited testing of this technology for the vehicle awareness back in December. We found we, in our environment, we had to make a couple modifications. One of them included antenna placement. There was two antennas close to each other, which was kind of bleeding over the signal, so we had to separate them to the front and back of the vehicle. This project is funded, and we're currently working through the procurement process. We intend to get 30 vehicle units and 4 work zone units. If it's proven successful, we'll expand that further. And as I stated earlier, the ProTram armbands that the employees will wear are also compatible with the other technology for the wayside workers. The next thing we implemented was the advanced mobile flagger. We did a stand down. It's 99% complete. 1% that is not complete are those employees that are out on long-term disability or other where they're not available to receive the training. As they come back to work, they're being tracked and they will receive it. So essentially what it does is it positions a roadway worker at the end of a platform at the 8-car marker. They're in band, they are positioned there while there's a mobile work crew on the tracks. They stand there with an amber lamp and an orange flag. They're given a script to read. Now all roadway workers who are RWP2 and RWP4 have the script. It's in the card. The train operators are also given the cards as well, so they have this. And it reinforces what they're required to do. Upon leaving the station, the vehicle operator is required to operate the vehicle at 1/2 their regulated speed. And the reason we didn't define a specific speed, like the train can do 60, you can do 30, is because in certain areas of the system, you could have sharp curves. The regulated speed could be 40, and we want you to travel at 20. You travel at 1/2 your regulated speed. They have to blow the horn continuously. The purpose of that is so that the roadway workers are given warning that a train is approaching by that audible cue. And once upon encountering the employees on the track, they have to reduce their train to 10 miles an hour to be prepared to stop. They proceed only after receiving acknowledgement that they hit from a hand signal from the work crew. They operate at 10 miles an hour until completely past the work crew. As far as safety assurance goes, the AMF compliance is monitored wayside by Maintenance Away, Department of Safe, Rail Transportation, and the FDA, so they go out and do this, periodic audits of this activity in the field. In addition, I have my safe staff periodically embedded in a rock to evaluate compliance with this. We've identified 2 instances of non-compliance where they stated that they were, they had implemented the AMF process. We were able to view it through station cameras, and we verified that they did not have the correct flagging set up, that the person wasn't in position yet. And in those instances, we pulled the employees down the track, off the track, we brought them down for interviews. So we are proactively auditing for this activity. In addition to this, TUCO, the Department of Quality Assurance and Internal Compliance and Oversight, is also performing rock audits, which will include RWP practices. Efficiencies that we identify are communicated to the FDA, so we are transparent to our oversight. All RWP non-compliance events are fully investigated by SAFE. Permanent orders have been issued to codify the RWP process changes and have been issued to the workforce. In addition, those significant permanent orders that directly affect RWP were part of the stand down that was recently given. The last slide is frequently asked questions and hotspot identification. As part of the feedback we got from speaking to the training department who delivered the stand down, there was a variety of questions that came up. Based on those questions, we issued a frequently asked questions response to those to clarify for the employees out in the field, because this is a new practice that was implemented. Those frequently asked questions are posted on the SAFE website, and they've also been given hard copies to management to distribute at the local level. All right? In addition to that, we're also doing a system-wide survey to ID hotspots. Those are low visibility areas where there's blind curves and no clearance, and we've updated the sheet in January of 2017, and we're continuing to refine that process. And in addition to that, the track access guide is continually being updated based upon the survey. At that point, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lavin. I think your presentation demonstrates a great deal of work and a lot of progress in this area, so congratulations to you and your staff for all of this. I have a couple of short questions, and then I'll let others have their chance. As I mentioned to you on the phone, I think the FAQs that were written were also excellent, and I'm glad those have been made available. With respect to the mention of the SAFE staff periodically being embedded in the ROCC, how periodically is that?
It's generally, we do it at least one day a week. We'll have them stay there for a full tour. And then they'll, when they have RWP implementation, they'll verify the AMF is in a place. And if file time is called, they'll check the file time sheets to make sure that the proper communication was heard and that it's properly logged.
Has their experience generally been positive? Are they finding things are being done properly? Are they?
It's overall been positive, and as I stated earlier, there's two occasions where they had a full catch.
And one other question. Remind me about the timing of the ProTran grant. I know you said it's underway, but I don't know.
Approximately somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks ago, we had to submit the final documentation package to the FDA. That occurred. They're in the process of giving it the final review. Once the FDA completes that portion, then the funding should be released.
So it's really an FDA's control at this point. Okay, very good. Thank you. Other questions from other members? Mr. Goldman.
Pat, just to follow up on the ProTran grant project, you've indicated that you've identified 12 hotspots for prioritization. What's the basis for selecting those 12? Is it just the physical way that the roadway goes there, or are those areas where there's been a pattern of violation? What's sort of the basis for selecting certain areas, and why 12?
It's a combination of both. One is we relied on the institutional knowledge of the employees in the organization for the areas that they're familiar with. The other thing is I looked at some of the past roadway worker fatalities. One of them occurred at Braddock Road, which was part of an incident involving a turbulent vortex, so we're looking at those areas as well. And then other ones would be either no clearance, sharp curves, or blind curves.
Could you give an example of some of the other ones besides Braddock Road? Are they all above ground or some underground as well?
I believe in the bias I actually have the list. Most of them are
underground.
But the list is in the files. If you want, I can speak on it. Dom, you need something.
Yeah. Just send me a note where that is. Thank you.
Mr. Lobby.
Oh, yeah, just a couple questions. Pat, first of all, on the ProTran grant project, it says train operators receive visual cue of workers head via the boxes. Where are the boxes actually located?
Okay, so what we did is we placed them with the blue light location, and the blue light locations are roughly 600 feet apart. So typically we would tie them into a minimum of three boxes, so you would get 1,800 feet of coverage at the boxes, and because they're triggered about 600 feet away. So you're 600 feet in advance of the box, approximately. That triggers one box, and it sets off a daisy chain. So the other two boxes would start flashing, and they're mounted high on the blue light location, so they're at pretty much eyesight of the train operator.
But they're portable, right? They're moved throughout the system wherever the workers are?
So one of the things we did is that I had a concern about is when we looked at National Airport, the original thought was that they were going to be portable and that you would have this box mounted inside the web of the rail. So I wasn't really comfortable with having roadway workers having to go into a blind curve to install the technology. So we sat with the leadership in ProTran, and I had them come up with a way so that we can make it fixed. And we chose the blue light location because we have a power supply there. And they came up with a transformer, which basically is compatible with their technology, so it's fixed. So once the employees go in there, their armband's triggered, they can visually see the box and can actually test the armband by pushing a button. Make sure they get the alarm that the box is sensing them before they go in the area, so it is a fixed location.
Very good. I have a couple questions on the advanced modal flagger. First of all, you say that the train will get information on the platform, and then the operator will go at half track speed. Are they required to stop when they see the roadway workers? Is this like a stop and proceed, or do they just continue operating?
Well, they have to stop. It says in the permanent order that once they physically observe the employees on the track, they further reduce their train to 10 miles an hour, and if they do not get a proceed signal from the worker, they have to stop.
Okay. So they have to have some acknowledgement from the roadway worker that they see them and either wave them through or have them stop and proceed. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I looked at some of the questions, the frequently asked questions, and it seems that there's just a couple of ways that roadway workers are protected now, either using the advanced mobile flagger or foul time. Is that correct?
Well, there are higher levels. That frequently asked question pretty much was geared towards the AMF because it's a new procedure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a roadway worker, you could also have ETO, which is exclusive track occupancy, or you could have IT, which is inaccessible track. So there are higher levels, but those are more geared towards fixed work zones as opposed to moving or mobile flagging.
Okay, so the mobile work will actually be protected by either the advanced mobile flagger or the foul time. If there's more extensive work, then you go to those higher levels. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Are there other questions? Seeing none? Is there any new business? Seeing none? Unless you have anything to add, Mr. Lavin? I think the meeting's adjourned. Thank you all.